Okay, so again, we are in that special time of the year, which is in between Purim and Pesach. And I definitely would like at some point to speak or to open up the class to more practical parts of Pesach preparation. But I would like to intro maybe ideas that are not new, but at least I understand them much better, or at least I think I understand them better, more in a more real way. How do we better get ready for Pesach, not in addition to the getting rid of the chametz, but what is the real meaning of getting rid of chametz? And I think the more that we can merge the outer to its real emes dike inner meaning, the more meaning it has, the more we are able to put up with or to even embrace the challenges that Pesach could bring. I'm not saying that Pesach brings challenges for everyone. I can tell you that for many people, Pesach does not bring up challenge. When the kids get older and they leave the home, Pesach becomes a lot easier. When people travel for Pesach, when they go to a Pesach program, Pesach becomes a lot easier. I'm not minimizing the challenges of going away, the new challenges, different challenges. Everyone has their standard of getting rid of chametz. Probably most people go beyond what they have to. Probably some people do too little. Everyone has to find their right place. But just to speak a little bit to the spirit of getting rid of the chametz, because we're not eating matzah, we're getting rid of the chametz. I want to speak about one topic of this week's parsha. We begin the book of Vayikra. Many people told me it's their least favorite chumash or sefer, just honest from the Chamish Chumash Torah. And a human being, for sure, initially would react that way, because the chumash of Bereishis is so, you can live there the whole time. Mamish. And Shemois, I know it changes, but still, you have the story, you have the Golos, you have the Geula, you have the Aseres HaDibros, even the building of the Mishkan, for people who go through in life, the phases of building a house, of refurbishing a house, all of these things become like, okay, I get it. Becomes a lot more real. Vayikra might not sound something relevant to me, because the book of Vayikra is called the book of Leviticus, which is the book that begins and to some degree has throughout the theme of sacrifices. So that's, and there's a lot of details, this animal and that age and the gender and for this type of category and for that type of category, and then you have the flower offerings, you have a lot of that. The emes is that life demands sacrifice. There is nothing great in this world that we can achieve without sacrifice. There is nothing great that's achieved without sacrifice. We better make sure that we know what to sacrifice. We better make the right sacrifice, because when you make the wrong sacrifice, it's a lose-lose, like chaval. The little good that I had, I sacrificed for something not good, which is what many people end up doing without knowing what they're doing. So I think it's a very, very relevant theme, and I want to focus on the salt that we have in the parsha. A rule, the rule was written by a specific type of sacrifice that's called a flour offering, korban mincha. Most sacrifices are animal sacrifices. Sometimes people brought flour offering. There were five types of flour offerings, five categories of the korban mincha. In that context, the Torah writes that with all karbanos, you have to bring salt. And not only that, God uses the word a covenant. Covenant in the Holy Tongue is a bris. That God made a covenant with us or with salt, that every sacrifice has to have salt. What's the meaning of that? Salt is an interesting mineral. I know many people, and this is something to acknowledge for the good, became very health conscious over the last few years in the Chabad Solar community. I think it's a Kiddush Hashem. It's a Kiddush Hashem. It's what Hashem wants from us. We better represent our people when we also see to it that we put our physical house in order. It's a Kiddush Hashem. Or to say it clear, that when people are very spiritual and they think that because of their spirituality they get a pass and they get to neglect some part of this earthly life, it's a big Chilul Hashem. And we know it, and many people allow themselves to get away with it, covered by, I'm into Ruchni Yizdike things. So Baruch Hashem, people are taking care of the health, and one of the common themes is you have to have salt. Make sure you have salt. Salt is such an important mineral. When it comes to food preparation, salt, I'm quoting now the Alter Rebbe, like really represents the paradox of something that has no flavor. Salt has no flavor, but salt adds flavor. Salt is great in a small measure. Salt is not great. It's horrible when it's too salty. In the Torah, there is one story about salt in the book of Bereishis, and that is that when Lot and his two single daughters, Lot and his wife and his two single daughters, were being saved by Hashem. And they were instructed as they're running out of Sodom, Amora, don't look back. So the Torah writes that the wife of Lot, who knows her name? I don't. I'm saying right now, either I knew and I forgot, or I never knew.
Iris,
could be, could be. Very good. Shkoyach. Yeah, it sounds correct.
Yes.
Iris.
Like that.
Yeah.
Could
you're
be wrong, but that's what came up in my mind.
I think you're right. Actually, you can Google it and you can find out.
I
think with an iron. I think with an iron. So she went ahead, and the Torah writes, and she looked back, and Vatehi Netziv Melach, and she became a pillar of salt. So what does that mean? So there is a few lines that we have in the Zohar that says Gevaldik, and it's going to align with what I would like to say, and it's going to be connected, I hope, with the Pesach prep. That salt, in a very generic way, represents Gevura. Now, Gevura is a very broad word, but it specifically relates to guilt. Guilt is, I can call guilt a negative emotion. And all emotions, negative as positive, have a place, have a purpose, have a function. So when you apply it well, there is a function for it. And we can just speak even superficially, not the real existential guilt that we all have, either you know it or not. When people say that thing that I did makes me feel guilty, as where I'm at right now, that person has guilt beyond reasons, but we can't explain it. So we are looking what to put it on. And if I did something inappropriate, so I did something that does elicit some feelings of guilt, but I would argue that in most cases, the level of guilt that people feel is not because of what they did, because it doesn't fit. Guilt could be very, very healthy, and being indulged in guilt is extremely paralyzing and very dysfunctional. Nothing good comes from it. Most people will feel guilt when they look back at the things that they have done. You look back at your life and you feel guilty. I'm not saying, God forbid, that everyone is bad doers, but all of us, all human beings, make mistakes. And one of the emotions that we can feel regarding myself, that, oh my God, and you look back, is there a place for looking back and feeling guilty? Absolutely, there is a time and a place. But the way the Alter Rebbe words it is that designate a time. You want to feel guilty, you want to look back, you want to feel remorseful, good. Take a time, mamish, make a date with guilt. That means say, I'm going to look at guilt. The Alter Rebbe advocates for people to do it better at night than at day, because it's going to paralyze you. And your daughter, he says, 10 minutes before you go to sleep, go look back and go indulge in your guilt. And the benefit of that would be that if it's done in the right measure, it's going to give me more of what I need when the same scenario, whether it looks the same or it looks the opposite, but if the real same scenario is coming up and I have a weakness regarding whatever that is, so my remembering that it didn't really work out for me, I might have felt good at the moment, then it came with so much stuff, I don't need it, it's going to help me. It's going to help me do the right thing in the future if you have it in the right measure. But if I'm constantly looking back, that means instead of having a little bit of salt, a little bit of gevura, in this context it's connected to guilt, I'm going to like indulge in it, then I'll become a pillar of salt. I think it's a very beautiful insight into understanding better that story. And we know that. It's just a fact. If I'm going to constantly live in guilt, I become a pillar of salt. So in that discussion, salt is connected to a negative emotion, to guilt. And in the maimer that the Alter Rebbe writes, a very short maimer, on this week's portion, on the portion of Ayikra, when he wants to explain salt, he's elevating the conversation. One doesn't contradict the other. One really shines light on the other, but he's putting gevura on a much higher level. Very relatable. And I'm going to use the words chachma, bina. We all have both. Bina is our analytical mind. When you want to understand things and you think and you analyze, and we said last week, and you thoroughly, okay. The Alter Rebbe writes that if you don't have a little bit of chachma, he calls salt the gevura of the father, which means the gevura of chachma. The father is chachma, the mother is bina. That I'll do my best to explain what that means more practically, but without a little bit of salt in the bina, we can get off the right track so easily, dafka, because we are thinking. You know, there's an expression, you're overthinking. There are many people that somehow were blessed with good intuition. They know more or less where they need to go, but the moment they begin to analyze, the moment they begin to think, there's always a risk that dafka, when you're using your mind a lot, you'll get away from the truth. And in order for you not to get away from the truth is connected to chachma. Chachma is not something that you get to know. Chachma is when the knowing gets you. Chachma is the few moments that you feel enlightened. And you know it. When you have chachma, you know it. The less you explain it, the better it is. So when a person has a certain moment of enlightenment, if they really are meriting to be exposed to real chachma, it's going to be vague. I see the light, but I don't know. You won't be able to have clarity with it. It's going to be just like the Hasidus gives an example of a lightning. That when you are walking in the dark and you have like no idea of anything, and then there is a lightning, so there's a tremendous amount of light, but on purpose, the lightning comes and goes very quick. So it shows a lot, but almost more than you can process. Like, what did you see in the lightning? But what you try to do then is you try to grab onto it. We call that bina. This is what I saw, this is what I think, this is the ta-ta, and you begin to analyze and understand and understand and understand. And either in that understanding, you're going to bring to this world some of that chachma, or by over-analyzing, you're going to lose the chachma. You overdid it. In Yiddish, there's such a great expression called an oiber chacham. I don't know if you heard that. Oiber chacham. And I can tell you something that in the yeshiva world, people that are engaged in the study of Talmud, there's so much bina wisdom, and the downfall could be that you become an oiber chacham. And you don't even know it. You began to split hairs where it's not healthy to split hairs. And you always have an answer. You have a comeback. And you see yourself to be, wow, I'm so great. When by doing that, you're going away from the truth. It's like the feeling that some people have when they're debating, that they don't have the answer. They lose the debate, but they know that they're onto the truth, and the other side is not emes. but I don't have the words. That's where Bina is self-destructive without even knowing it. So in the Bina, there has to be a little bit of Chachma. Gevura of Chachma means Chachma is too big. Gevura means a little amount of the Chachma has to wake its way into the Bina.
How could you do that?
How do we do that? So I think the first answer is that these things we don't do. These things are being done to us. And I'm going to go right into my chametz. I think my part is firstly to know that I'm not the doer, because chachma is so godly that if there's I in any wrong way, it chases that away. So I'm not the doer. I would even say my part would be to make the right sacrifice. I'm speaking very broadly. And I'm speaking to people, and I really hope that people don't apply these ideas to every part of life, because they do not apply to every part of life. But let's speak about suffering, that to some level, external reality brings about suffering. There's a truth to that, but I'm not talking about that truth. I'm talking about a deeper, and it is a deeper truth. And that deeper truth is that on some very deep level, my suffering has to do with the way I am. Or I'm doing something internally the wrong way. And as a result, or as a wake-up call, I'm feeling the pain. And if I would internalize things differently, if I would go about my life internally differently, then I wouldn't be feeling pain or anxiety. For many people that struggle with anxiety, even though there are external factors that might trigger anxiety, they should not be ignored. There can be a chemical component with anxiety. But listen to these words. Anxiety, for people that suffer with anxiety, is a gift. How is it a gift? Because it's an internal alarm clock. If I'm doing something wrong, I'll get anxious. And many times you say, I'm doing everything right. What are you talking about? So this is a gift. This is a gift from Chachma, that there's something of the way I am internalizing, the way I am going, I'm not talking about physical going, about whatever, that either I'm overdoing something or I'm underdoing something, or I got the wrong balance of thing, and because of that, I'm feeling anxious. And that is what the cleaning of chametz is all about. And I would say, as a rule, less is more. In all pnimiyas dekavoida, less is more. I'm overdoing something. I'll just give you a general example. Many people, whether they will admit it now or they need another 10 years, will admit that there is this pursuit. I'm going to word it in a negative way, because the same thing could be worded in a positive way. There is this pursuit of greatness, the pursuit of honor, of greatness. Like, I want to accomplish something with my life. Gevaldik. No one is taking that away from anyone. That's extremely important. I'm not advocating laziness, chas v'shalom. There has to be meaning. So make the most of it. Be great. There is a certain way of people pursuing greatness that is extremely arrogant and that brings about tremendous inner suffering. Take a perfectionist. Maza perfectionist. What's a perfectionist? You know how much suffering a perfectionist has? And it's mamish, it's for nothing. Doesn't have to be that great. I don't have to be that great. I have to be good. I have to be doing the right things. I don't have to be great. For some people, what I'm saying now is not a chiddush, and good for you. For some people, they're not wired that way. This comes way back when. Know that you have to be great, not for you, for God. And it's packaged in a way where the person who has that feels like, I'm doing, this is the right thing. It's all L'shem Shamayim. Some of it is L'shem Shamayim. Some of it is my ego that is not happy with just being average. I have to be great. At least in some part of my life, I have to shine. If that is being done in the right way, you won't have any suffering from it. You won't suffer from it. But many people's inner sufferings is coming because of this attitude. And when they sacrifice, I don't have to be great. They give up on that. Not in a way where I'm not going to do anything. No. They're going to actually accomplish more. Not they. God will accomplish more through them. That's a secondary thing. They'll see that. They'll have less anxiety. They'll have less whatever else that they're struggling with. That's a mitzrayim. People have these things that stop. We all have things that stop us from being more. This is endless, and everyone has their own avoida. It's not one size fit all ever. But I'm just giving a mashal of salt. Salt would be if one has the insight that being great is arrogance when it's done the wrong way, to hold on to that and to put it into everything that you do with a small amount, not too much salt. Not okay. We're not saying for people not to do. Be a doer. Do things. And do things amazing. It doesn't contradict. But do things amazing and it doesn't have to be great. You know how much we would accomplish if we would feel it doesn't have to be great? You know how much suffering people bring upon themselves when you have to make a presentation, just as an example. On any level. I mean, I know this. Some people... I'm not going to say his name. One of the chevra, I'm so amazed. He gets up. He can get up in front of 10,000 people and talk and not be anxious. And I know how he does it, because he doesn't need to be great. It's such a good midah. So like he has no skin in the game, and if it comes out bad, he doesn't have the. You can't fake it. He doesn't have the arrogance. Let's say that I have that. This better come out good. I'm being measured. So you bring upon yourself a lot of tsar for no reason. You have to cut out the chametz. Chametz will be the arrogance. Cut out. Once you see the enlightenment of chachma, which is pure humility. So vaguely answering your question, our part of being more worthy of having a better relationship with chachma, without doubt, our part is to be humble. And being humble is not saying these words. And being humble where I am already humble is already a done deal. There's no work there. Being humble where I'm not yet humble. Being humble where I don't even know I'm arrogant. You know why I don't even know I'm arrogant? Because I don't want to give that up. I want that so badly that I don't even know I got a problem. We all do that. The flaws that I don't see, why don't I see the flaws? Not because you're blind. Because you don't want to give it up. It's so true. And then when someone tells it to you, you're going to fight them. You're going to resist it. Why? Because you don't want to give it up. This is what the carbon has to be. And the proof will be in the pudding. I think when we give up the wrong thing, we correct ourselves. How? Through chachma. It's amazing the way God made us. We all make mistakes. If I'm going to give up something that I should not have given up, at least after the fact, even for people that are not enlightened, they're going to say this was a mistake and they'll learn from it. But when you give up the right thing, as a rule, I think you're going to become free. Like Pesach is freedom, you'll feel free. And that's the meaning of looking for the chametz. That's why we go meshugah with looking for the chametz, because the chametz that I see, I give up, shkoyach. My problem is that there might be chametz where I made myself blind because I'm not ready to sacrifice it. And there is no progress without sacrifice. No progress without sacrifice. We all learn this. These words, other words. We have to almost willingly die to be able to be free. Everyone is in the process of rebirth. Everyone is in the process of death. Everyone. And we have a lot to say about it. We're not the balabas. God is the boss in my life. But we have a big part of it. And many of us allow the good to die. God forbid. For some foolish reason. But because we think we benefit. And we have to sacrifice the right animal, the right flower, the right wine, the right oil. Like all of these things are very meaningful. you know, the Alter Rebbe goes into details how the three animal types that are generally used for karbanos, the bull, the goat, the sheep, they all represent different parts of the person. The aggressive is the bull, the follower is the sheep, which could be used for the bad, the shrewd, oiber chacham, the goat. I don't know if you saw a goat. Whichever animal gets under your skin, that means it's you. That's why you're reacting towards it. I once saw a goat climbing on a tree. I had such a, I'm a goat. Something, it's not like a trickster, like something like that. You have to see that. And we have to know, and all of these things are difficult because they're not categorically bad. Like, wanting to do things great is not categorically bad. There is a place for it, but many people put it in the wrong place. You need a lot of chachma for that. And I think God gives everyone that chachma. And all of these things that we feel that are too big from us, I think they are very telling. They're very telling. When we do things the wrong way, something backfires internally. If someone is depressed, that's what they struggle with. That's a gift because it's a sign. You're doing something wrong. Stop doing what you're doing. And never look at the obvious. Look at that which you think is great, because that's probably where it's buried, which is why you think it's great. Or having a good mashpia, having someone else to bounce things off with. And that we should be good friends to each other. A good friend is someone who will be able to mirror back something that's imperfect. Of course, with love and with respect and the right way, to surround yourself with people like the good old Fabrengens. It used to be that way. People got together, and what did they do? Everyone told the other how horrible they are. And if it's done the right way, it's very enlightening. Like, what do you really think about me? Do it with your kids. I think that will be the ideal. If you can come to a place where you can ask your kids, tell me where I failed you the most. If you can get that out of them, then first of all, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to be fully honest. But the more honest they are, that's a compliment to you. And that's where the avoid is. And to get rid of that. That's the preparation for freedom. To look for my chametz, look for my arrogance, by bringing in a little bit of the chachma through bittul. And too much of that is not good. You have to be careful. Some people suffer with, they have no sense of self. You tell a person that has no sense of self, don't be great, you're going to kill them. Finally, they're picking themselves up. You have to be careful with that. That's why all salt, there's a covenant. It preserves. Salt preserves. But too much salt can kill. You want to get rid of the blood, you saturate it with salt. I know that halachically we want to get rid of the blood, but blood also represents life. If you over-salt something, if you over-guilt something, you finish it.
Is guilt like regret?
Guilt can be regret. So there's a time to have regret. In a limited measure. And then there's being overwhelmed with. So give up having regret sometime.
It's like guilt and arrogance can really be tied, right?
Guilt and arrogance are so tied. Yeah. They're mamish, they're the same. The opposites of the same. Because people that don't expect themselves to be great, which is arrogance, if it's coming the wrong way, like by many of us, I'm talking about me, it's arrogance. So then you feel guilty if you're not great. If you didn't have to get 100, if you're getting a 70 is fine. Okay, so even if you got a 65, you're just five points off the mark. You're not 35 points off the mark. Yeah, a lot of regret that the Alter Rebbe writes, that people would come and they would lament that while they're davening, they're having all these thoughts and they're feeling horrible. The Alter Rebbe says that the feeling of horrible is coming from your arrogance. The Alter Rebbe was good at that. He was to the emes. That you think you're the big tzaddik. You think that who knows, you're like Malach Machal, so you're shocked by the fact that someone on your stature can have all these thoughts. You're not so great, and don't be so disappointed in yourself. You're human. The Alter Rebbe wrote it in Tanya, which means that we probably, most of us, have somewhere either a lot of this or at least a little bit of this. And looking of the chametz was meant to be difficult. In other words, the getting ready for Pesach this avoida is not an easy avoida. So when you externalize it, and it's difficult, it's not wrong for it to be difficult. And just to conclude before we go into Pesach questions, if you guys want, is that I would still say that it, at least in my memory of life, getting ready for Pesach used to be a lot harder. That's the way I remember. It used to be a lot harder. And the fact that it's not so hard, the fact that it's to me would mean that all of this inner avoida used to be a lot harder. It's not so hard anymore. Why is it not so hard anymore? First of all, everyone is engaged in it. So it makes it a lot easier. Everyone relates to the these ideas. People say that exactly, that's where I'm at. Or that's where I was, or that's where I would like to be. Look at the tanyas that are printed now in English. When I grew up, we didn't have any of that. We're not smarter, we're just luckier. We're living at a time where there's so much more knowledge available to the people. So this avodah becomes a lot easier. Many people always felt there's something wrong. Something wrong with me, something is wrong. And that's where they were at. So at least they had that knowledge that something is wrong, but they didn't have the tools that we have today to discover something and to do our part, and at times meriting God really freeing us and to experience, and like we all have in our lives, real changes. So yeah, I think it's reflective of the fact that we're getting closer to Mashiach. So it's like there's like a collective march generally in the right direction. The Rebbe always spoke about this. Don't think that as time is going on, we're getting worse. No, as time is going on, there's a progression. It can be a couple of steps back to 100 steps forward. It's not a straight line. That in itself is very uplifting. We're going in the right direction, and we're going to try to do our best to get rid of the chametz. And maybe the more we work on our inner chametz, then more God will make it easier in the outer chametz. Pashat, that people should have better parnasa. I think money goes a long way when it comes to Pesach. It was always that way. Long way if you have more help in the house. So they take advantage from us by charging double for it. It's not okay what they're doing. I always say this every year. I don't know if it helps that we have a responsibility to buy the least from kosher vendors. I believe in that, to buy the minimum from kosher vendors. It's not right that the percent of the foods go that much up. And if the people that are listening to this, if we are in a financial place and amen for everyone, okay, it doesn't make such a big difference. Don't forget how you used to be when you were in a financially hard spot. And there are many people now that are in a financially hard spot. And if they have to spend that additional money for them, when you don't have the money, you don't have the money. It's horrible. It's a horrible feeling. Just saying this on the side. But I'm saying that maybe the more we do the work where the work should be, then externally, God, I'm already doing the sacrifice. Like, you don't have to bring two karbanot. You have to bring one karban. For one sin, you bring one karban. If we figure out what to cut out, what wrong attitude, what arrogance, where is my arrogance, which is chametz, where is it? By everyone, it's in a different place. It's hiding. If I look for it, I'm going to find it. And I cut it out. Don't think cutting it out is that easy. That's why the chametz for all of us. You clean the chametz. If you have kids or grandkids, good luck. You'll find the chametz in the same place. I don't know if that ever happened to you. In the same place. That's Hashem showing you how difficult it is. I had that experience a few times. I found it hilarious. Mamish.
Clean the place.
And the chametz was in the same place from another grandkid. Not from my grandkids. From whatever. So... And this is like I know this. I know I have this flaw. I want to get rid of it. And then I go around thinking, that's it. Like I worked on myself. And then Hashem shows you it's still there. But not, you didn't make any progress. At least you feel God is with you. That's what you take away. See, Hashem is with me. Because without a God, this wouldn't have happened. Look what's going on in Israel. I know, first of all, it's heartbreaking. It's very difficult. It's like the paradox. There are miracles, and at the same time, how can you live like this? I don't know how they're living. There's no end, and they're running to the bomb shelter, running out of the bomb shelter. And there's a house there. You know, there was a house that was hit. The same house was hit this morning.
Two times.
The same house. So I'm saying this idea that when we're trying to get rid of something, And if it happens on the same place, that means that there's something there. There's something there, not in a depressing way, but I have to do my part more. Do my part more. I don't think I do it. I don't do it. I do my part. Do my part. And together with davening and together with being opened and being ready to make, we have to be ready to make sacrifices. Birthing a child is one big act of sacrifice. You have to think about it, that every sacrifice. Sacrifice is an amazing thing. It's the right sacrifice. It's worth it. Like you see, yes, giving tzedakah is sacrifice. Making yontif is sacrifice. Being a better parent is sacrifice. When you're tired, you have no koyach. That's the whole life. The whole life. The vayikra is life. And there's so many laws that if you make the wrong sacrifice, pshee, you get punished for it. So that means, because, yeah, it's like a lose-lose. People say, I had such great intentions. That's the gevurah of life. You mean well, but if you did it wrong, not only did you not do a mitzvah, you did something horrible. That's where we get the most hurt. I did something with the best of intentions and it wasn't received properly. That's by karbonis. You make one mistake, God says, not good, not good, and you did a horrible thing. Yeah, I think the closer we get to the truth, the more delicate things are and the more reverence we have to have. Okay, Atkan. I think by now all of us know how to make Pesach. There's no shaylos anymore. I can say that stam, it's cute over the years.
We know how, we don't want to make it.
We don't want to make it. It's not true. We want to make it. Huh?
Doesn't bother
you at all. I'm sorry, yeah.
I have to say, it's actually easier doing it in Israel than here. Not because of the minus one day. They're so simple with their food. In America, we have this concept that you have to have five kugels and five salads.
For those who have that.
Four main courses. And in Israel, there's you just have a piece of chicken, vegetable side.
Okay.
And I think they're onto something there. You don't have to have elaborate.
Say, in my house, the food is kosher Pesach the whole year already.
Right.
Other than challah, which we barely eat.
Gluten-free.
Not in the gluten, stam, yeah. Yeah. That makes it a lot easier as far as the diet on Pesach. But I think the house prep and the cleaning.
It's harder with little kids.
It's harder with little kids or with little grandkids. Just practically, not hard. It's pleasurable. It's hard, meaning. No, but now is the time to get things done. In other words, now is the time to get things done.
It's always like that.
In Israel now, the mothers, there's no school for the kids. So they're
It's
6 years they don't have school because of the message.
Since COVID.
Since COVID. Yeah, so it's already like
it's very difficult.
They were like more like in like out of school since 2020.
I think, again, just connecting the inner, when you look at it and look at yourself, I think that on some level, we are all that way, meaning that we have certain patterns of the way we are with ourselves, that we are in the house, and then we go into the shelter, and then we go into the house, and we go into the shelter. I don't think we realize that. We make ourselves crazy. We have a part in that. We're conditioned that way. But realizing that you can't live that way, you can't live this way. To find that, just to relate to it, a lot of suffering from just being displaced. We displace ourselves. Most people don't know how to stay in one place. They'll admit it. I'm in a good place. Tomorrow, how are you? Horrible. And you'll have a reason, which is not the reason. That will be the first way you get to become free. Cut out that reason. That will, you had a trigger. But if you wouldn't have had it in you, that wouldn't have bothered you. Would have been a non-issue. You would have dealt with it. Because you're still there. You're good. You're bad. You're good. You're bad. You're safe. You're not safe. You trust. You don't trust. Things are amazing. Things are horrible. I think we do that a lot.
That's not life, though.
I don't. It's not the way it's meant to be. It's where we are, and I think we have the ability of doing something, of being part of a process, of being freed from that. Because that, it's like a soita. Look what's going on over there. One night, seven times, to be in your bed, to go out of your bed. You know, for people who are lucky to have a miklat in their homes, they're lucky. So they go to sleep in the miklat. Yeah. If you don't have that, you in an apartment building with many other families, First of all, you can't, there's kids. You can't put your kids to sleep with another 80 kids. So you put them to bed, you take them there, you put them to bed. What will this do to me? I don't know what this would do. So I'm thinking, I'm probably doing it to me already. I'm just seeing it. I'm seeing it externalized, concretized. But this is all of us. That's who, the whole humanity is like this. We're crazy. Coming and going. You're in your bed, you're in a miklat. And in a miklat, you know, this whole place of, you know, fight or flight, whatever they call that. Everyone is living there for too much of their lives. They're reactionary the whole time. They make the other into a bigger monster that they are. And even if they are, it's nothing to do with you. It's to do with them. And you contend with people. We're fighting with people. If we were to see what we do, I think it would be, we would laugh, and the laughing would be a good step of how we drive ourselves crazy. And all of that has to be cut out. We have to cut out. We have to sacrifice something because we are benefiting from it. If we, deep down, if we wouldn't benefit from it, if we wouldn't want it, we wouldn't do it. This is hard to swallow. A person says, I'm suffering, and you tell them you want it. There's some part of you that wants it. If not, you wouldn't be part of this. You have to find out what that is. And then you have to give that up. You have to say, okay, I sacrifice it. If you really find what it is, then you have a fighting chance to succeed in sacrificing. If you don't even know what you're sacrificing, you're not sacrificing. I'm giving God whatever you want. That means nothing.
That's how you're supposed to know.
You have to use your bina with a little bit of chachma to go find it. Like, how do you find the chametz? How do you find your chametz? I don't know. They took a candle in the dark with a feather. Isn't that ironic? You need a feather, you need a spoon. You need the dark, to find the chametz. You wouldn't find the chametz that day. God forbid, just to open the lights and to look for the chametz. No, don't do it. Because we're not just looking for the piece of bread. We're looking for the real chametz. Real chametz, I'm saying that I see the darkness would mean a negative emotion. If a person feels guilty or feel depressed, I feel anxious, that is the light. The light is, if I'm feeling bad, I'm doing something wrong. So that gives me a hint. There's a hint. I don't know what the feather represents. I don't know what that wooden spoon represents.
Spoon is so tricky.
And it's so. But it's such a good minig, and you get all the kids involved. I love that part. And what are you doing? They get scared. They get scared of adikas chametz. They think you're doing kishuf.
That late at night, you're lucky.
That's right. And Hashem should bless all of us with that. In Brazil, everyone had it at night. All right.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm going to stop recording over here because